Chapter 13, Iron and Faith. Like a shark following the scent of blood in the water, the obsidian sky came hard out of interplanetary night, streaking towards the fourth planet of the Zelenic system, the battle there lighting up its auspexes and augurs.
"Well," said Magnaric.
"We have them in our sights, Marshal," reported Ericus eagerly. "There are orcs here, but a paltry number."
The oculus was closed for battle, and so Ericus ordered the hololith lit. The display burst into life, bathing the faces of all aboard the command deck in dancing light. Auspex data crowded a true pict of the planet. A strike cruiser stood embattled in the sky over the dead world. Explosions in miniature flared in the space of the bridge as orc attack craft detonated messily.
"Behold the Palimodes," said Ericus.
"I recognize it of old," said Magnaric. "At last, Calcator shall face justice."
"Your orders, my lord?" asked Ericus.
"We should stand back and watch the orcs destroy them," advised Ralston. "Then slay the surviving orcs. That would be the most tactically astute action. We might then locate the Iron Warriors on the surface and deal with them at our leisure. If we attack now, we shall find ourselves with not one foe, but two."
"And afford Calcator the luxury of escape?" bellowed Magnaric. "No. The craven traitors will surely flee as soon as they catch sight of us. We will attack both ground forces and the Palimedes simultaneously. Prepare all dropcraft. We assault the surface immediately. Sword, Brother Rolands?"
Sword, Brother Rolands stepped forward, the black of his armour thick with the red crosses of the Black Templar's veterans.
"My Lord Dreadnought Marshal," responded Rolands. "Take 1/3 of the crusade. Choose your own men. Equip them for ship-to-ship combat. I bestow upon you the honour of assaulting and taking the Palimedes."
"It will be done gratefully, my lord," said Rolands.
"Master Ericus, you will drive through the orcs attacking the Palimedes and bring the ship within boarding range. We shall take back their ship, purify it, and re-induct it into the rightful service of our lord the Emperor."
"Praise be,"
shouted the Black Templars and their bondsmen. The shout of praise was silent on Ralston's lips. Misgivings plagued him.
"My lord," he said tentatively, "I beg of you not to attack two enemies at once. Let them expend their strength upon one another. See here, Magnaric, the orcs are deploying aircraft and personnel to the surface."
Ralston had the hololithic display zoom in to a fat orc carrier craft. Its sides were riddled with hangars and launch tubes. From these, a steady stream of smaller ships issued, turning downwards into the planetary gravity well.
"If there are no orcs on the ground yet, soon there will be thousands."
"The orcs are of no concern," roared Magnaric.
He turned his massive suit of armour on his lieutenant. Magnaric raised his vox amplifiers to maximum.
"All battle brothers proceed to dropcraft. Heed my commands. Gunnery control. Upon flyover of the Iron Warriors' planet-side positions, find and target the transports of the traitors. Destroy the ships. Strand the Iron Warriors so that we might face them blade to blade. They will taste our anger. No swift demise in fire for them. I will see them beg for forgiveness. Calcator will not escape me this time. Shipmaster Ericus, move to engage the Palimedes directly."
"As you command, my lord," said Ericus.
"My lord Magnaric," said Ralston.
"Castellan Ralston," said Magnaric,
his metallic voice infused by the prospect of battle.
"The way prescribed by our founder is always forward. We shall not hang back like jackals while the lions fight. You have your orders. With me unto battle, bold soldiers of the Emperor. We shall destroy these paltry orcs and take the Palimedes and return to our chapter with it as a trophy of war. I go now to ready myself a drop in the Basilicus."
He leaned over Ralston and lowered his voice.
"I will brook no more dissent, Castellan. Be warned."
Magnaric thundered out of the command deck.
"By the will of Magnaric, make so his orders," commanded Ralston.
Forcing down his own disquiet, he began to make preparations. for Planet Strike. A squawking of surprised messages burst from the Vox station as the obsidian sky slid down towards the Palimides.
Master Divulgatus, silence that noise!
Aye, shipmaster, initiating wideband Vox jamming now.
Ericus leaned forward, the weight of the cables plugged into his neck, shifting on his shoulder.
We will pay no heed to the words of the traitors. Open fire on the orcs and prepare to clear the way. Prow lance batteries to mark these targets and fire upon my command.
He indicated his priorities on the hololith.
Primary gun batteries, sweep the flanks. Spinal turrets, fire at will. Scour the void. We shall shield Lord Magnaric's landing and then proceed to take the Palimides.
Drop tubes loaded, reported the Master Egredorum.
The ship's void shields flickered as the first of the orcs noticed their new foe and turned their guns upon them. Energy beams hit out first, cutting like searchlights across the dark. Across the command deck, bells tolled gently, bringing soft notice of the clouds of deadly projectiles following on behind. Ericus settled himself into his command throne. He reached out and grasped his sword. A servant of the Black Templars always fought with a weapon in his grasp. The command deck, rarely full of needless chatter, took on a focused air. Orders and commentary were the only words spoken. Servitors sighed and muttered quietly. Cogitators clacked in their housings. The crew of the ship was minimal, most of the work done by mind-wiped servitors or vat-born things that had never known a name, plugged directly into the ship's systems. The 50 unaltered men who manned the command deck were somber with a privilege bestowed on them.
Range to the Palimides, 6,000 kilometers and closing, relayed the Master Orgrim.
Open hangar bays and drop tube shielding. Drop countdown commencing in 3, 2, 1, mark.
The number 120 appeared on the hololith and began to rapidly count down, its colouring turning from green to red as it approached zero.
Turret pins released, said the Ordinatum Secundus. Main ordnance ready for firing. Lance batteries 1 through 4 are charged and await your command, Master Ericus.
50 years had passed since Ericus had fallen at the second obstacle in his bid to become a member of the Black Templars. Despite his high suitability, his genetic code proved incompatible with a chapter gene seed. The memory of that day haunted him forever. And yet here he was, armed and glorious, a mighty warship at his command. The lives of his masters were under his care. There was no greater duty.
For the glory of the Emperor, launch, he said.
Praise be, intoned the crew as one.
The distant rumble of rockets firing vibrated the deck plating. The ship shifted infinitesimally at the release of such large amounts of mass.
Correctional thrusters firing, reported the Master Egredorum.
The ship pushed back against the jettisoning of its drop vehicles.
Our legions are away. 5 minutes to touchdown. Praise be.
Light flared in the hololith as an orc assault craft exploded. The Palimides, shields twinkling with orcish fire, had rotated about its centre, presenting its stern to the obsidian sky. This was a ship's most vulnerable aspect, but they were close to the horizon. One good burn would put them out of sight, leaving the Black Templars entangled with the orcs.
The Iron Warriors are running. Proceed towards the Palimides, ordered Ericus. We will accomplish Magnaric's orders. My lord, sword brother Rolance, you may prepare your boarding party. Helm, run the traitors down.
Calcator gripped the orc's head in his servo claw and squeezed. The thick skull cracked, deforming the orc's already hideous alien features. Still, it fought on until Calcator jammed his bolt pistol into its mouth and blew the back of its head off. The last few pallets were being removed hurriedly from the hangar, the rest having been dragged out under fire. Orc bodies lay about the hall, intermixed with luckless serfs and servitors caught in the crossfire. Otherwise, casualties were light. Calcator had lured the orcs into the hangar, where they were pinned between carefully planned fields of fire, and gunned down without mercy. The orcs were odd specimens. They had the look of infiltration specialists to them, executed in that clumsy, slightly comical way the orcs had with everything they did. Their weapons were oversized. The camo patterns they wore, jarring. but their faces were blackened, their weapons burned dark, and their equipment, night-sight goggles, grenades, charges and the like, seemed serviceable enough. As his scorn rose, he reminded himself they had successfully infiltrated the complex. Calcator had his squads report in. No more contacts with the enemy were reported. The orcs were dead. After several dispiriting days, Calcator's spirits were uplifted.
"Bordan, raise the Palamedes," he ordered. "All squads prepare for immediate extraction."
He strode out of a hangar back into the pale day of Zelenic IV. The last of the supplies were being loaded into the Thunderhawks, the undersides of the ships glowing orange with repeated rapid ascensions and re-entries.
"I cannot raise the Palamedes, my lord," said Bordan.
Calcator tapped his gun impatiently against his leg.
"Then try again."
The space beyond the clouds was lit occasionally by the false lightning of low orbital battle.
"Surely they've not been overwhelmed?" "No, my lord. There is a blanket denial broadcast preventing communication."
"From the orcs?" said Calcator.
"I cannot discern the location of the broadcast, my lord. It could be the orcs."
"Or," said Calcator. He fell silent a moment.
"Magnaric," he whispered.
"We will ascend and deal with the problem at source.
Board the transports."
Calcator marched up the gangway of the Meritara, his serfs, weaklings before his armoured form, scurrying out of his way. His warriors fell back out of the emptied complex, covering their fellow squad by squad. For a moment, Calcator was transported by the efficiency of his great company back to a time when they fought for a master other than themselves. He slapped his palm against the ship, quashing his nostalgia. Iron warriors ran up the ramp as it closed. The engines whined loudly. Turning from the dead world, Calcator went to the flight deck.
"Lerontus?"
"My lord,"
acknowledged the pilot.
"Remove us from this place."
The ground dropped away, rapidly becoming a hazy caramel nothingness, a void that could contain anything. Calcator stared at it, remembering the world it had been. A sudden jolt brought him back to the present.
"Incoming fire!"
shouted Lerontus.
"Origin point? Orbit, Lord Calcator!" "Lance strike!"
Lerontus grunted and heaved hard on his flight stick. A beam of coruscating energy stabbed down, glassing the ground 100 meters ahead of them. The Meritara bucked as it rode out the shockwave. The adamantine was not so blessed. Its starboard wing trailed streamers of fire, loosened panels shaking in the airstream, and it began a rapid emergency descent. Lerontus dodged the damaged craft, sending the Meritara leapfrogging over it and accelerating ahead, leaving the adamantine to disappear into the haze-cloaked dunes. Another blast seared through the sky, carving a pillar of clear air through the smog. Thunderous shockwaves boomed out after each strike.
"Standard suppression pattern,"
grunted Lerontus, piloting the Thunderhawk through the agitated air.
"The orcs are copying Imperial fire protocols."
Calcator's boots locked to the floor, and he bent forward to peer out of the top of the Thunderhawk's canopy.
"They are not orcs. That was a precursor barrage to a drop assault,"
said Calcator. He pointed upward to where the clouds swirled around the track of the orbital strikes, discharged lightning crawling along their undersides. The beam strikes cut out, and the sky lit up with multiple flashes.
"Magnaric must be hot with fury at my continued liberty if he tries to hit gunships in atmosphere with lance fire," he said. "If he tracked the others to the Ostrom system, he will have gone to Klostra, and from there he will have come here." "Sounds like Magnaric,"
said Seasax.
"He is tenacious." "It is Magnaric, almost certainly," said Calcator. "He has dogged my footsteps since the end of Horus's war. I hear he continues his crusade from beyond the grave. So you can imagine, Seasax, it will take more than an orc war to dissuade him." "I do not need to imagine it, my lord. They are coming."
Bright meteors burst through the clouds, streaking groundward to the east. They came down rapidly, their snowy vapor trails scoring the yellow-brown sky.
"We must leave. I will see if Vorstrex and his command can be recovered."
Calcator switched his vox channel, seeking out the downed adamantine. He cursed at discovering the range of his battleplate's vox insufficient, and switched his communications feed through the Thunderhawk's own systems. A wider world of sound greeted him. The garbled chatter of the Black Templar's communications overlaid atop the hissing of the Dead World's voice. He scanned through multiple channels, seeking out his comrades. A blip and a tumble of shouted squad communication burst into his earpieces.
Vorstrix, this is Calcator. Respond.
There was no reply. Calcator tried again, without success. It was clear the leading sergeant of the men aboard the Adamantine could not hear him. Calcator heard him shouting urgent orders. The banging of bolter fire crackled over the vox, and with it he heard the roaring of orcs.
It appears there are now orcs also upon the planet in large numbers, said Calcator leadenly. They attack Vorstrix.
There is more, Warsmith, said Leurontus. Enemy gunships have deployed and will move against us. They will be deep enough into the atmosphere to begin pursuit and intercept within 5 minutes.
The tactical display of the Thunderhawk was crowded with icons denoting the Black Templar's forces. Out of the window, curling contrails pulled away from the gracefully curved descent lines of the drop pods.
5 of them, and we are just the 2, said Calcator.
Long odds, said Seasax.
I've endured worse. Alter course. Put some distance between us and the Black Templars. Head for that ruin.
Calcator pointed at a squat building jutting from the sands some 10 kilometres away.
We shall make our stand there. Let them blunt their ire upon a sea of orcs. When they are done, our guns will be waiting.
Prepare forward lance batteries, commanded Ericus. Spinal turret array, stand by for my command. Reopen the oculus.
Compliance, muttered a servitor.
Motors grumbled as they pulled the massive blast shields back from the window. Ericus looked from the oculus to the hololithic tactical display. On the display, the obsidian sky's immediate environs appeared crowded with combatants, swarms of green signifiers clustering around both Imperial and traitor vessels. Through the armor glass of the grand window, space appeared anything but. A huge expanse of black. The light of the stars outshone by the albedo glare of Zelenic 4. Near space sparkled with dancing motes, all that was visible to the human eye of their Xenos enemies. Beyond this shifting cloud, the Palimedes was a punctuation mark of light. The command deck was a murmur of idiot servitor queries and reports, overlaid with the terse-efficient battle talk of the chapter servants.
We are within optimum range, shipmaster. Shall I give the order to open fire?
Negative. Hold fire. We will not be drawn into a duel, but shall force our munitions down their throats at point-blank range. Then we shall unleash our masters upon the traitors aboard. As you command, shipmaster.
A bell rang. Servitors gabbled, moaning alarms.
Multiple orcish attacks closing from planetary east, reported the Master Orgrim.
Steady as she goes, ordered Ericus.
Range 2,000 kilometres and closing. We are gaining on the Palimedes, said the Master Orgrim.
Wait for it, demanded Ericus.
He leaned forward in his command throne, leather gloves squeaking on each other as he massaged his hands over his sword hilt.
Shipmaster, more orcish vessels approach from planetary north. Interceptor and bomber wings launched. They're coming in fast. Contact in 20 seconds. 19. 18.
Alarms clamoured.
Alert! Alert! Groaned a choir of hissing mechanical voices. Borders detected. Decks 97, 42, and 6. Alert! Alert! Borders detected.
Long-range teleport, origin unknown, said the Master Orgrim.
Was there any warning? Snapped Ericus.
Negative, sir. They just came out of nowhere.
Seal all bulkheads. Sergeants-at-arms are hereby given permission to open the armories and distribute weaponry to the ship crew. All Chapter Warriors' bondsmen stand ready. Armsmen to the affected sites, said Ericus.
Shipmaster, this is Swordbrother Rolands.
Rolands' sonorous transhuman voice rolled out across the command deck.
We shall postpone our boarding attempt. It will avail us naught if we take the Palimedes and our own vessel is overrun by the orcs. I am moving to engage borders.
Allow my men to take care of the problem, my lord, said Ericus. We are within boarding torpedo range of the Palimedes.
There are too many, countered Rolands. Your men will be destroyed. We will show them the Emperor's displeasure at first hand.
Very well, my lord, said Ericus.
But Rolands had already gone.
Bomber wing approaching. They've launched torpedoes.
A flight of crude orcish fighters soared over the spine of the obsidian sky, chased by streams of glowing tracer fire. A moment later, the ship shook. A score of bombers hurtled past, weaving between each other recklessly as they dodged the obsidian sky's anti-interceptor fire. One disintegrated into a cloud of glowing scraps. The rest were away.
"Damage control?" asked Ericus. "Nothing to report. Negative impact," said the Master Divulgatus. "Shields?" "The void shields took the brunt of it, Shipmaster," said the Master Scutum. "All reading within optimal limits." "Shipmaster, the northern and eastern groups of orcish ships are gaining." "What is your command, sir?" asked the Master Ordinatum.
Ericus glanced at the tactical displays. Orc ships closed on two horizons, coming fast and low around Zelenic 4. Four cruiser class in each group. The Imperial ship had the advantage of range. Orcish projectiles were inaccurate and unreliable at distance. Up close, they would be devastating.
"Emperor, forgive me. I pray that Lord Magnaric shall understand my actions and be merciful," said Ericus quietly.
"Abort attack run on the Palamedes. Provide gun crew with new orders, Franzek. Kill the orcs. Destroy their ships before they can close. Conveying new firing solutions to all batteries. Solutions conveyed. Open fire."
The obsidian sky quaked under the release of its guns. Lance beams burst through space. Cannons spoke, scattering high-velocity chaff around the vessel in a razored net that caught orc fighters and rent them to pieces.
"Port broadside, engage eastern orc group. Thin their numbers," ordered Ericus. "Aye, sir."
The ship rocked as the port guns fired. 20 seconds later, the lead orc cruiser of the eastern group flew into the mass of projectiles. It burst apart at the seams, flickering energy and fire, crawling over the broken pieces for a moment before it went dark. The aft of the hull spun away, connecting with the cruiser following and severely damaging it. The remaining two orc cruisers clumsily split, getting in each other's way.
"Shipmaster, we have two cruisers coming at us astern." "Come about, port side," ordered Ericus. "Batteries and lances, stand ready."
The ship's engines rumbled, and metal sang at the sudden course correction, played upon by the gravity of the planet and its own momentum. A klaxon blurted out a mournful wail.
"New contacts appearing everywhere, behind the moon, from near space, dozens of them. They must have been waiting, engines dark. We're surrounded."
"A trap," said Ericus incredulously.
He stared at the hololith as augured data was fed into its cogitators. New contacts sprang into life, bright red, a net around his ships. Orc ships now approached from three quadrants at once, only the Palamedes standing between them.
"Port battery, open fire on northern group. Keep them off the stern," Ericus commanded. "Fresh orc cruiser group coming aft," shouted the Master Orgrim. "Palamedes is mirroring our movement and is coming about also," added his second.
The Palamedes' main engine stack dimmed. All along its sides flared the ice-white sparks of breaking jets. The nose dipped, carrying it to the very edge of the atmosphere. As it dived, it lumbered around and turned on its side a little, ignoring the swarm of orc attack craft pressing it from all sides, and presented its full broadside to the oncoming prow and keel of the obsidian sky.
"They're preparing to fire," called Franzek. "Up 30 degrees. Concentrate anti-inceptor fire to ventral aspect, support anti-munition cannons, or they'll tear the guts out of us," shouted Ericus,
half rising from his seat, his link cables tugging at his augmetics. Cannon muzzles ripple-flashed up the length of the Palamedes port side. Glinting shells sped across the void.
"Time to impact! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Brace! Brace! Brace!"
No impact came. Ericus glanced at the display. Red reticules spun past the icon denoting the obsidian sky, heading into the orc ships chasing them. They blinked rapidly before impact. The orc ship icons flashed and vanished.
"They are firing on the orcs," reported the Master Orgrim.
Space was alive with explosions and the burning light of high-energy weapons fire. The main hololithic display blinked thickly with yet more orcish attack craft.
"Close Oculus shutters. Replace holo display with true representation of the battle space. We will concentrate our efforts on the orcs. See if you can raise the shipmaster of the Palamedes.
If they are not going to fire upon us, we will offer them a truce for now. Marshal Magnaric, shipmaster.
I am shipmaster, said Ericus. It is my responsibility. Rather, he has a ship to return to and a shipmaster to execute, but no ship at all.